Dr. Sadla, can you hear me?
Got you now. It's 1:02 p.m. We're back into regular session, and Ms. Anthony will do roll call for us.
Okay. Dr. Sadluck?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt? Dr. Rubin?
What's up?
Okay, looks like we're waiting on Dr. Spatt.
Let's give Dr. Spatt one more minute, and then we got quorum. We can roll on. I don't see Dr. Spatt popping up. I believe we have quorum, Gail.
I believe we do, yes.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and we'll get back into it. Anyone have any questions, or does anyone want to, on number 7, leave it as scope as defined? Does anyone have any other suggestions on 7 on how they would like that worded? Or do you, and we're in regular session now, does anyone have any other questions for the executive director or Ms. Campbell?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure how everybody would feel about a motion that would direct Ms. Anthony to essentially draft a substantive policy statement that we would maybe list on the board and make a website and make public that would essentially reiterate the law as written and simply state that any physician desiring to practice outside of those boundaries would need to come before the board and seek the information that we've discussed about, in one of the three categories, maybe just go from there. That way it's just short of not taking action, but also making everyone aware of what they need to do if in fact they go to attend, an approved training curriculum for a specific action that's not part of the current basic curriculum.
Ms. Anthony Ms. Campbell, would that be something that could be implemented? What would be the easiest way to go about it?
And Dr. Salek, members of the board could just instruct me to draft a substantive policy statement based on what we discussed today, bring it back before the board for review, and we can go from there.
Dr. Campbell, would that suffice?
If everyone is good with that, I would like to make a motion in that regard.
Would you like to state your motion?
Yes, this is Dr. Campbell. I'd like to make a motion regarding item number 7 that we direct Director Anthony to draft a substantive policy statement, reference the items that were outlined today in both regular and executive session, and bring it back to the board at her convenience for further discussion and approval.
Okay.
I'll second that motion, Dr. Campbell.
Okay. Would you like me to do roll call?
Yes, please.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gowan?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt? He's not with us. Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
The motion carries.
All right, let's move on to number 8. This is review, consideration, and possible action regarding dispensing rule revision. So I'll have Ms. Anthony explain that. Everyone has had a copy of that, I assume, and read it. Go ahead, Ms. Anthony.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this was discussed at last meeting. We talked about a couple of specifics. One was on the proposed R418-101 certificate to dispense requirements. It was discussed, number 3, obtain payment for the items listed in subsection A1. And I think I think Dr. Rubin made the comment that to include payment from a third party, and his language was fulfillment center. So we need to take a look at that. And then we also, Dr. Sadlick made a request under R418-1002, number B, to strike several items. So it would just be left to read, a doctor shall ensure the natural substance, drug, and device dispensed is labeled in compliance with ARS 3215-812. I think that's appropriate. We don't need to really list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so his request was to strike those out of B. Other than that, there wasn't any other further discussion about anything specific. So I'm asking the board to perhaps approve the language as it is, or do they have any other changes that they would like to see made?
Dr. Rubin?
No, you know what? I was opening my document. Can you go on to the next?
Sure. Sure. Let me move up to Dr. Spatt then. He's not with us. Okay, so we don't have Dr. Spatt. So let me go to Dr. Campbell.
I have no other questions and concur with the appropriate changes that have already been made and outlined.
And then let me roll up to Ms. Gowan.
I don't have anything to add right now. I agree with what's been said.
Okay. Dr. Rubin, have you gotten to that document or have you found it?
No.
You made suggestions.
I read it last night. You know, I read it last night. I don't know why it's not open, but I went through the whole thing last night, and so I'm just trying to find it. Okay, here we are. Okay, because I know I highlighted a couple things. So this is the Article 10, right? We were talking about where the fulfillment center from last time.
Yes.
And you guys, and you're talking about doing away with the labeling with the doctor's name and address and telephone number.
Correct.
Going away. And then I know. You know what? I think that I guess I didn't mark this one up at all. Okay. I apologize. I'm fine with everything.
Okay. You're fine with the changes, Dr. Rubin?
Yeah. Hang on 1 second. Oh yes, I know what it was. And maybe you guys, when I was trying to open it and I was looking at my email, you guys asked this, and if so, just tell me to move on. But you said a doctor shall ensure the natural substance drug or device dispense is labeled in compliance with 3215-812. And that, does that need to be stricken? Which is item B. That verbiage, because you scratched out everything after that.
I don't believe so. I think D needs to stay.
Well, you scratched out everything in B. You scratched out B, 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5.
Right, because 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 just expands on B. But B would state, a doctor shall ensure the natural substance, drug, or device dispense is labeled in compliance with ARS 3215-81-2. So it spells it out already in statute.
Okay.
So it was kind of redundant to spell it out again, that specifically in rule.
Got it. Okay. So our statute says that we do have to include the doctor's name, the address and telephone number, and prescription number. State dispense, like all, you're saying that that's what the statute already says.
You know,
I just don't have 3215-81-2 in front of me.
Right. Let me see if I have it available.
Dr. Ruman, as she's looking, are you referring to, for example, if you have, let's take a pharmaceutical, say you have metformin in your office and you buy it by the bulk. Are you referring to that, or are you referring
no.
to?
Berberine.
Okay. And that's kind of what I discussed with Miss Anthony was the nutraceutical botanicals that are available, as you all know, OTC. How much of that do we want to start labeling and ingredients, et cetera, et cetera? So that's what she and I discussed a few days ago.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, if I may, so if we're referring to 3215-81-2, which reads, the natural substance, drug, or device is dispensed and properly labeled with the following dispenser information. The dispensing doctor's name, address, and telephone number, and a prescription number or other method of identifying the prescription. The date of the natural substance, drug, or device is dispensed at the patient's name. The name and strength of the natural substance drug device and directions for proper and appropriate use and any cautionary statements. And then if the generic drug is dispensed, the manufacturer's name. So that's statute. That's already in statute. And that's the basic requirements per that statute. So we're just expanding on that.
Wait, repeat it one more time because you went fast. You don't
want
to take notes.
Okay. So it's 3215-81-2, and it says the natural substance, drug, or device is dispensed and properly labeled with the following dispenser information. So A, the dispensing doctor's name, address, and telephone number, and a prescription number or other method of identifying the prescription. B is the date the natural substance, drug, or device is dispensed. C is the patient's name, and D is the name and strength of the natural substance, drug, or device, directions for proper and appropriate use, and any cautionary statements for the natural substance, drug, or device. If a generic drug is dispensed, the manufacturer's name must be included.
Okay.
That's already in statute, Gail.
I mean, you're talking this is something that we've had for a while, but if we sell a bottle of vitamins, we have to label it with all that stuff. Right?
That's what current statute requires, yes.
So it's impossible for that to happen if we dispense something through a third party fulfillment center. It's not going to happen. And I would argue that we should probably change this legislation because it's superfluous. It's not necessary. It's burdensome. It's problematic, in the future. And you're not doing it when you're dispensing virtually or through these other centers. And it's still considered dispensing, I believe, if we're getting payment for it. So I think we need to change knock strike that if we can entirely, because I honestly don't see why we would need to do that. I don't know that any other physician's office, MDs, DOs, chiropractors have to do that. They just have bottles on their shelves and people buy it. So I argue that that's.
Dr. Rubin, I agree 100% with you. I'm wondering though, and this probably would be, if it's in statute now, the problem is you have, 1,200 licensees that probably are confused about the statute to begin with. So it's problematic. So I don't know the best way to deal with it. Anyone have any suggestions? Since it's you and I, Dr. Rubin, Dr. Campbell's on too. I don't know, Dr. Campbell, if you do any clinical, nutrition or nutraceutical botanicals. So I don't know if this would really affect you. Do you do any of that?
I don't know. It almost seems as if the statute is specific to, the role that Walgreens or some, pharmacy would have, when they print that piece of paper that accompanies your bottle. And that's what they're asking the physician to do in the event that they do dispense those things. And whether or not the record, the medical record that is kept, that would contain all that information, in your notes, if that would satisfy to meet that or not, in part of whatever you provide the patient with what's already documented.
Most likely it would, we'll use Dr. Rubin's example, berberine. So I would think most likely his note would say, in his plan portion, would say suggested berberine 200 milligrams twice a day or whatever his note would say. Am I correct, Dr. Rubin?
Not only are you correct, but you're outlining something that has been problematic since I've ever been on the board. As people say, take berberine 2 caps BID. They don't specify whether it's berberine HCL, berberine sulfate, or a branded name like Berberactive. They don't specify the milligrams in the capsule. They just say 2 caps BID, which is referring to whatever they have on their shelf at the clinic is what they intend for that patient to buy. So they take it, so there's even less there. And I see the concern for whoever pushed this on us, to get it into statute. But when you look at us as, the global and well-recognized experts in this medicine, and you impose a standard like this on us, and, if we were to take example from other professions, other medical professionals who, enjoy dispensing privileges or don't have rules and have, less stringent, issues, it enrages me. And this always has, and I'm glad we're talking about it, because it's simply not necessary and burdensome and ridiculous and probably opens things up to mistake versus letting it fade away and, go into the ethers of non-existence, which is what I'm in favor of. And I'm angry about it.
I understand, what you're referring to. And we'll use berberine. If you say take berberine and let's say the brand that you prefer, we'll just use the name of a company, is we'll say ABC, Zymogen, whatever it happens to be, then fine. I take what you've suggested, et cetera. There's nothing to stop me from saying next time I'm going to go to Costco and I'm going to get the berberine there. So subsequently in your note, you would know most likely that the brand that you prefer to carry is ABCD. You have ABCD, you recommended ABCD, Whether they go to Costco for their next refill is really up to the patient. You have no control over that.
Absolutely. And that's, yep, it's part of the problem. It's part of the problem in the industry. And yeah, and exactly. And this is creating, it's almost punitive for the physicians that are the experts in trying to control it when the consumers have pushed the other way. So,
correct.
Yeah, I'd be in favor of, I don't know that we want to mess with modifying it. I think we should try and get it out of there entirely. And maybe messing with it now is going to cause problems down the line, because I'm not okay with it in there now that we're bringing it up. And as you know, if we do consider dispensing through a third party fulfillment center, now it's an erroneous thing because we have no way at all, and that could become real problematic for us.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way really to be 100% compliant. You know, it's probably in your plan again of what you intend to do for that hyperglycemia and IDDM, whatever it happens to be. But you, beyond that, if they get it from you, great. If they don't and they go to Costco, then that's obviously going to be up to the patient. I don't know, and this would be up to probably Ms. Campbell, and then Gail would know too, is if that thing can be striked or how we should deal with that.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is Gail. Just so I'm clear, when you're talking about statute currently, 3215.81.2, what you all are discussing at this point in time references natural substances, correct? You're not speaking
correct.
Of specifically drugs, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Drugs, if we'll use Dr. Rubin, for example, if he's carrying metformin, he should have the lot number. He should have the expiration date. He should have the proper labeling. He should have it properly packaged, whatever. I'm 100% for the drugs. It's the OTCs, i.e., again, berberine, that tends to be problematic.
Okay.
For at least probably 1,200 docs out there.
I mean, it's true, because I could prescribe it for somebody. I could prescribe berberine hydrochloride, 500 milligrams for somebody, and then they could go to Walgreens and get it. And why doesn't Walgreens have to label it if it's by prescription? If I may, I mean, technically, I'm not, I mean, some may say like, well, you're a doctor, anything you say is a prescription because you're diagnosing and then treating a disease. And, but then they're going and buying it for the disease, which is the treatment, but this other place doesn't have to label it. And so, you know, it just isn't, it's not a good, it doesn't make any sense. And it's burdensome and could create error. So, yeah, I would love to figure out how we get rid of it.
And so, Dr. Rubin, members of the board, so are you suggesting that instead of number two saying the natural substance, drug, or device is dispensed, it simply says the drug is dispensed and properly labeled?
Yeah. Or the...
With the following?
Yeah, the pharmaceutical or drug, mm-hmm. meaning that pharmaceutical, which I hope all 1,200 people know, that medication, simvastatin, whatever it is a pharmaceutical. It is a drug. You have to be accountable for that particular drug if you're going to have it in your office. So I'm in favor of the drugs. I think it's just the vitamins that is very, very difficult.
I think I understand what the concern is. I don't have a specific answer for you right now, but I think that maybe I can go ahead and move forward with looking at the statute, looking at the rule, maybe bring some ideas back to you at the next meeting, if that's okay.
Yeah,
I'd prefer you just do it right now. Kidding. No, of course, it's great at the next meeting.
Thanks, Dr. Rubin.
Put me under the bus.
Yeah, please. Oh, my God. I would love to have this at our agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, all right.
So
I'm glad that that conversation took place because that really helps.
So, Dr. Rubin, just so, and because you're the other physician online, and I mean, Dr. Campbell or Ms. Gallen too, but I think definitely having our executive director geared towards pharmaceutical, i.e., if I'm going to give you a prescription for simvastatin, you're going to have to go to Walgreens, CVS, whoever it is. You're going to have to fill that, et cetera. So there is a process already in place for that, and it should be in your chart note. But getting back to the nutraceutical botanicals, vitamin C, berberine, that's you're dealing with kind of a different animal.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So we're through with eight. Anyone else have any questions or comments on number eight, board members? Okay, so Ms. Anthony, we'll bring it back to us.
Yep.
And then we'll go on to number nine, and Ms. Anthony will, Ms. Campbell will go over that for us.
Yes. So the board may recall that it's considered Dr. Huber's petition for review rehearing at its last meeting. The board denied that petition for review rehearing. Dr. Huber has now filed a judicial review action with regard to this matter, which means she's appealed the decision to the Superior Court. I would suggest that the board may want to go into executive session for legal advice with regard to this matter.
I'll make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice with Ms. Campbell. I'll need a second.
Dr.
Before you second this, this is Dr. Rubin. I should stay out of executive session, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
We're not going to have court then.
This is up the spot. I'm here. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. And we will have quorum.
I'm sorry. Something happened. I can't walk in, sweet. So I'm my apology. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we are going into executive session. Let me make roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick.
Hi.
Ms. Gallen.
Hi.
Dr. Campbell.
Hi.
Dr. Spatt.
Hi.
And Dr. Rubin is recused. Motion carries.
Okay. All right.
Make sure you log off of this and then log back onto executive, please.
Okay. Aye, aye.
1:30.